Flip open, guys, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Grab your Bible, flip open to 1 Peter chapter 2. And you're going to have to look at your Bibles tonight, because we might get that up there later, but right now, it's not going to be on the overhead. So, flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Does anybody got a page number?
Yeah, it's
1212. That's easy.
1212.
1 Peter chapter 2. And we're actually going to start in verse 13. The focus of what we're going to look at starts in 18, but I want us to get a context for what we're talking about. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, says this. It says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, every authority, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." He starts out, and he starts to lay out what he's going to be talking about, which is the topic of what we're talking about tonight. Submission to authorities. He says, submit yourselves to every authority for the Lord's sake. Not for that authority's sake. We talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago. It's not about that authority. Whether that authority is doing good things or doing bad things or is easy to submit to or not easy to submit to. We are to submit to authorities for his sake, for his glory in our lives. And he says, submit to authorities. And he's going to go on and he's going to start with servants. If you look in verse 18, the very next word he says is servants, which is actually the word for slaves. First Peter 2?
Yeah.
18?
In what you read.
No, I started in verse 13, sorry. 13 through 17. We're going to start in 18 in just a second, but at the beginning of, I just wanted to set up the context for what we were talking about. That's what is, it comes right before, right before verse 18. And he starts in verse 18 and says, servants, slaves. He's going to be addressing slaves. But he's actually addressing all the people that are in submission to authorities. It's talking about the relationship to people who are in submission and to the authorities that are above them. And we know that because he starts talking about slaves, but then if we go down past what we're going to look at tonight, in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, in the same way. He says, use this concept that I'm about to lay out, that we're about to look at tonight. Use this concept in the same way. And he says, wives, submit to your husbands. And then, in chapter 3, he says, in the same way, husbands, submit to your wives. He lays out this idea of submission to authorities in our lives. And so he starts here in verse 18, he says this. He says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure, this finds favor with God. He says, subordinate yourselves to every authority in your life. And if you remember, the easy way for me to think of the word submit is actually to let them be the boss. If you have an authority in your life that has authority over you, let them be the authority. There's ways that you cannot let them be authority, right? You can say no, not obey. You can, we talked about a bunch of things you can do, but you could make fun of them. You could say yes, I'll do it, and then you walk away and you don't do it. There's lots of ways that you could not submit to authorities. Hold on, not submit to authorities. But the easy way for me to think of it is just to let them be boss. That they are an authority over you, let them be an authority Let them be in authority. That's what we're to do. And he says, do it with all respect. Cody was referring to this before. Why is our topic respecting authorities? Because not only are we to submit to authorities, but most of the time when God talks about submitting to authorities, he couples it with this idea of respect. Because in some ways, sometimes, I think we can separate those two ideas. That we can say, oh, I'm submitting, I'm obeying, but I don't have to respect that person. I don't have to act with respect towards that person. For instance, when I was younger, the thing I hated the worst, the chore I hated the worst, was taking out the garbage. I don't understand why. It really is like one of the easiest things to do. You just go, and you pick it up, you go throw it in the dumpster. It's not a big deal. And I actually liked doing dishes and stuff, which took forever. Yeah, I know, it was weird. But I hated taking out the garbage. And it was one of those things, I think part of it was, that it wasn't just a regular thing, like I did once a week, like I did dishes, like two times a week or something. But it was something that just, on a whim, my mom would say, Nate, go take out the garbage. And I would do it, because I was good, and I submitted. But I would do it something like this. Is that respecting?
Yes, you're doing it.
Is that acting? No, it's not. It's not. It's not acting with respect. It's not showing respect toward my mom, Bobby. Shh. We can separate those things. I can say, oh, I submit, but I don't have to respect. Well, those things go hand in hand. With submission goes the respect for that person. Now, keep in mind, this is regardless of whether they deserve that respect or not in your eyes. He doesn't say, respect your masters. He's talking to slaves here, remember. Respect your masters who deserve respect. Respect your masters and submit to your masters that are the nice guys. Because back then, there were lots of slaves and there were lots of masters. And some masters were great to their slaves. They treated their slaves like they were a part of the family. I mean, they really cared for and really treated well their slaves, their servants that they had. And there were some masters that treated their slaves horribly and could completely do that within the law. Slaves were property. They could be treated however they want. A master could well, they didn't have a gun. I was going to say pull out a gun. They could just say, hey, go kill that guy. Go kill my servant. I don't want him to live anymore. Just, he's dead. And there was nothing that servant could do about that. They were property. They could be treated however harshly the master wanted to treat them, or however well. And he says here, he doesn't say here, submit and respect to those who are good to you. He does say that, actually. He says not only to those who are good and gentle to you, because some of the masters would be, but he says, but also to those who are unreasonable. And that word unreasonable actually means twisted or wicked, crooked. It's actually the word, it's the Greek word scolios. Do you guys know, have you guys ever heard of scoliosis? Do you guys still get checked out for scoliosis in junior high? I know I got checked out for scoliosis. Do you guys know what scoliosis is? I think they probably still do it, where you get checked out. They would check out your spine. And scoliosis was a curved spine, a crooked spine. It was bent out of shape. It wasn't in line. And it's the same word used to describe these really wicked, evil masters. They were twisted. They were perverted. They weren't in line. And he says, submit and respect not only to those who are good, but also to those who are wicked, who are evil, who don't treat you well. He goes on and he says, for this finds favor with God. Or for this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering justly. He says, the reason why it's good to submit and respect even the people in authority over you who do not treat you well, is that if you are, for the sake of conscience, which this is not that, like, Jiminy Cricket, you know, always let your conscience be your guide. It's not that word. It's the idea of because God is in your view, because your focus is on God, if that is the reason why you submit and respect authority, that finds favor with God. He says, if you are looking to God and going, God, because I love you and want to submit to you and want to honor you, I'm going to submit to this person who does not treat me very well. He says, that's what finds favor. That's pleasing to God. And he says, so if for the sake of conscience, toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. He says, this finds favor with God. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? He says, if you do something wrong and you get punished for it, God's not going to be pleased with you if you go, oh man, I really screwed up and now I'm in trouble. But you know what? I'm going to patiently endure being mad. And God is going to honor that in my life. No. You deserve to be grounded. You did something wrong, and you got the consequences of it. And you should get the consequences of it. The reality is, honestly, that we should desire being punished for doing wrong. I know that sounds weird, but we really should. Because that's the natural, that's what should naturally occur when we do something wrong. And he says, that doesn't find favor with God. If you do something wrong and you get punished for it, you deserve it. That's what should happen. Whether you agree with the severity of the punishment or not, that's what should happen. But he says this, right at the very end of verse 20, he says, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure, this finds favor with God. Again, he's just saying, if you do what is right, if you're not in the wrong, and you have an authority that is not treating you well, is treating you unfairly, is maybe a jerk, is maybe wicked, really evil in your eyes. And you continue to submit and to show respect. That is what honors God. Now the question is, why? Is it because God likes to sit up there and go, oh, great, Nathan's really, Nathan. I never call myself Nathan. I can't believe I just said that. I really like to see Nate squirm and suffer because of that authority that is cruel to them. Yeah. Is it because he delights in us getting pain in our lives from authorities, getting treated unfairly? It's not it. He goes on. So that first point, by the way, is it pleases God if we submit when we are fairly treated and when we are unfairly treated. But he goes on in verse 21, he says this. He says, for you have been called to this purpose. The reason why it's good for you to continue to submit and continue to respect an authority who is not treating you well, who doesn't really, in your eyes, deserve respect, doesn't deserve to be submitted to. He says, for you have been called for this purpose. He says, you have been called to suffer unjustly from those authorities over. He says, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He says, you've been called for this purpose, called out. He's saying that God told you, Trent, step up to this. Nate, step up to this. Cody, step up to this. This is what I want your life to be about, the purpose for your life to be about. You've been called to this purpose. And that is to suffer as Christ suffered. Which is kind of a crazy idea, but I think we would all agree that our lives, we want our lives to be about being like Jesus. You know, there was those bracelets back then. I've talked about this a couple times, those WWJD bracelets, what would Jesus do? And people were like, yeah, they were all over that because they were like, I just want that to be a reminder to me of that I want to live my life like Jesus did. Is what I'm doing right now a reflection of what Jesus would have done in this situation? To have that in our minds. But usually when we think about that, we think of being Jesus. We think of, well, I want to be loving towards other people, which is great. Was Jesus loving? Yes. I want to serve other people. Did Jesus serve other people? Yes. But we usually leave out the fact that a key part of Jesus' life was that he suffered unjustly. He was treated unfairly. And he says, just like Jesus was treated unfairly, you have an opportunity to be Jesus when you're treated unfairly. People can see Jesus in your life, not only by the way you love other people, not only by the way that you serve other people, but also by the way that you the way that you respond to being treated unfairly. And he says, God has, or Christ has the example for us. He says he left you an example. That word example means to, it was used actually for teachers who would write things, like write things on a board, and their students would copy that down word for word. When I was studying this, the first thing that came to mind was actually Ellie is in kindergarten, and she is learning a whole bunch of stuff. She's learning her letters, and she's learning numbers and all that stuff. And what I've noticed when I see her homework come in every day, and we look through it, and no, it's not hard, it's fun to see that, but I noticed a big tool that they use with kindergartners is they write out what they want the kindergartners to copy, how they want the kindergartners to write their things, like, for instance, I brought this, Ellie, she got a little smiley face on her assignment, but her teacher wrote her name, Ellie Smith. And then Ellie's job was to try to copy as closely as possible what her teacher wrote there. There is two. There's one down there too. And as you notice, Ellie is just learning how to write, and it doesn't look quite the same. But as Ellie continues to learn, and as she continues to try to copy the example that her teachers leave for her, she's going to get better and better and better at writing her name. And it's the same with us. Jesus has left us an example. He's left us an example of something to copy with our lives. And you know what? Sometimes our lives are going to look a little bit like Ellie's writing here. But as we continue to submit to God and continue to submit to the authorities in our lives, we will look more and more and more like the example that was left for us. And he says that example is suffering unfairly. And he says, how do we do that? He lays it out here. And he says, verse 22, he says, this is Jesus' example that he left. First thing is this. It says, who committed no sin. As we submit to unfair authorities in our lives, and maybe it's someone in our lives that maybe isn't always unfair. Maybe you have somebody that you're like, man, that person that I have to submit to is just a jerk all the time. Never treats me well. But probably for a lot of us, we have authorities in our lives that treat us well most of the time and are easy to submit to most of the time. But at times, you know, I know for my parents, at times I'm like, man, they really don't deserve me to submit to them right now. They're really treating me badly. But he says, this is the example. When you're treated unfairly by an authority in your life, first thing is this, he committed no sin. I don't know about you, but my natural response if someone is treating me badly is to treat them badly. You're going to sin against me. My response is, I'm going to sin against you. I'm going to do, you treat me badly, I'm going to treat you badly. You treat me well, I'll treat you well. You make it easy for me to submit to you, and I'll submit to you. You make it hard, and it's your fault that I'm not going to submit to you. He says, no. He says, Jesus' example is this. Submit to unfair authorities by not sinning. Second thing that Jesus did is this. He says, and nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Deceit is trying to hide the truth. And a lot of times we do that with our mouths. We lie. We tell something. We tell an untruth. And you know what? It would have been easy for Jesus to deceive. He could have gotten right out of the situation he was in. As he was being tried to go to the cross, he knew that was the end. That the road that he was on would lead him to the cross. And he could have easily lied and gotten out of that. Matthew 27, you guys don't have to flip to it. Says this is just the time that Jesus was headed up to the crucifixion. It says, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Jesus was being treated horribly. Horribly. And when he was asked, are you the king of the Jews? That was the issue that he was crucified on. Are you the king of the Jews? His response could have been, no, I'm not. Would it have changed the fact that he was the Messiah? No. He could have gotten out of that, and it wouldn't have changed anything other than he would have gotten out of that situation and wouldn't have been treated unfairly. Because nothing that was done against him, hold on, nothing that was done against him was deserved. It was all unfair that those authorities were doing towards him. He could have said that. But no deceit was found on his lips. The same thing happens a lot of times when we're submitting to authorities. That we can easily get out of the trouble that we're in or get out of the unfair treatment by just telling a little white lie. They don't hurt. It doesn't hurt anything. You know what? My dog ate my homework. I could do the homework tomorrow night. That's a legitimate thing. My teacher never has to know that my dog didn't really eat my homework, and they're not going to believe it anyway. But you know what? A little white lie, it's not a big deal. And I'll get a better grade. There'll be a better result from it. And Mrs. Pankratz doesn't like me anyway, and so I can tell her a little. But Jesus is our example, and no deceit was found in his lips. He didn't lie. He didn't try to hide the truth. He goes on and says, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. That word reviled means literally to verbally abuse someone. Jesus was being verbally abused, and he was silent. He did not try to strike back with his words. You know, they were beating Jesus, and they'd beat him, and they'd go, hey, prophet, tell us who just hit you. And you know what Jesus could have said? Bill just did. He could have said exactly who just hit him on the head, right? But instead, he submitted and did not strike back with his words. Allowed them to make fun of him, allowed them to tear him down, allowed them to walk all over him. He did not respond. That's our example. He goes on and says, and while suffering, he uttered no threats. He didn't say, I'm going to get you. One day I'm coming back and you'll be sorry that you did this. He remained silent. And that's easy to do. I don't know about you, but when I'm treated unfairly, it's easy to go, you'll get yours. And some people even do it in like a kind of a Christian way, and they go, well, I'll never strike back at you, but one day God will, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, you'll be in trouble. You know what? Jesus is our example, and he submitted to unfair treatment without a word. Without striking back, without threatening, he just allowed them to hit him. hit him and beat him and treat him unfairly. That's our example. And the last thing here is the key to everything. He says, but he did this. He didn't do any of those things, but he did this. He kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Who's that? Him who judges righteously. God, yes. Bible answer. Not Jesus, God. Instead of doing all of those things, instead of reviling, instead of talking back, he instead said, you know what? I'm gonna trust God. I'm going to trust God in what he has chosen for me. I'm going to submit to him and believe that the God who knows what's best for me, who can do what's best in my life and loves me, is going to do what's best. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who knows what's best and he loves me. I can trust that God. He kept entrusting himself to him. He didn't feel like he had to defend himself because he knew that God was the one who was really taking care of him. That's the key to the whole deal. That's our example. That is the first line on this sheet that we are to copy. When we're treated unfairly, when we're treated unjustly, when we have a cruel authority in our lives, or someone that might just be acting cruel today, our example is Jesus. How well are you doing at copying Jesus' example? When you're treated unfairly, when someone doesn't treat you well, how are you doing? And sometimes I know that the response is, well, Jesus was Jesus, and I'm Nate. And Jesus could handle that because he was like God and stuff, you know? He could do that. And I'm just Nate. But if you guys know, if you remember when we were in Sunday school looking at this, Galatians 2:20 says this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. The reality of that verse, my favorite verse in the whole Bible, is that Jesus lives inside of us. And if we trust God with our lives, we have every resource in our lives to live like Jesus lived. To submit like Jesus submitted. To copy the example that Jesus laid out for us exactly. We have every resource we need to be there. And all it requires on our part is trusting in the one who judges justly. Last couple verses there says this. Verse 24, it says, and he himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. The reality is this. He finishes us up with reflecting on what Jesus accomplished on the cross, which is this. No matter how unfairly an authority treats you, you honestly might have someone in your life who treats you horribly all the time. You very well might have an authority like that in your life. No matter what that authority ever does, the reality is you are secure in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. No matter what they do, there could be an authority that eventually may even go to the very extreme and kill you. To me, I think that's like the most extreme way someone could ever treat me. And you know what? Even that, they can never touch your soul. They can never touch what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. That's the reality. That's the point there. No matter how they treat you, they cannot harm you. Bottom of your handout, guys, this is the same thing that we had a few weeks ago. I'm just going to read through it. It says this. It says, for the believer, submitting to authority is based solely on a choice to trust God. The one who is in control knows what's best. It's not, submitting to authority is not based on authority. It's based on your submission to God. It's based on trusting in the one who cares more about us than we ever imagined. That's where we get the strength to submit to. Last couple questions are this. How do you respond to unfair authorities in your life? What needs to change? Think about that as we pray. It's at the bottom of here.
I don't have this. Which question?
Let's pray. We'll go to our groups. God, I just thank you so much for this passage, which honestly, again, I just think that in my mind, we need to be people who stand up for ourselves. We need to be people who don't let people walk all over us, and that we should be submitting to people who deserve our submission, who deserve our respect. But God, you say that you've allowed unfair authorities in our life. You allowed unjust authorities in our life so that we can live out the life of Jesus. So that other people can see our lives, see how we submit when we're treated badly. And they'll see a glimpse of you. God, I pray that that's what we would be about. That we would be about trusting you with our lives. And not trusting in people that have authority over us, but trust in you. Because as we trust in you, God, we can submit how Jesus.